Okay. In most situations, when referred to Rabbeinu Yonah that we are learning, one might assume that the popularity has more to do with his various different svarim, all dealing with areas of Musar and ethics and so on. Certainly Sefer Shaar Avoda, and even probably more familiar is the Sefer Shaar Tshuva, the Sefer called Sefer Hayira, and so on. But of course, Rabbeinu Yonah was a Rishon and was a great Talmudist and a Halachist. So there's also, of the many different things that are printed, we have lost a lot. We don't have everything, far from everything. But we have Rabbeinu Yonah, which is a Pirish on the Rif, and which is also a Pirish on Chumash. We have Rabbeinu Yonah, which is a Pirish on Mishle. And the Pirish of Rabbeinu Yonah on Rif, if you open up the Vilna Shastis, the traditional Gemara, learn up Masechtas Brachos, you'll find at the end, you're surrounded the Rif, you'll find Pirish called Talmida Rabbeinu Yonah. The reason it's called Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah is because it is the Talmidim basically who wrote down the teachings of Rabbeinu Yonah. But for all intents and purposes, this is the teachings, these are the teachings of Rabbeinu Yonah. In addition to that, we have Rabbeinu Yonah, which is a Pirish on Masechtas Ovis as well. There's also a Pirish of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is on Masechtas Sanhedrin, which is called Sam Chaim, an elixir of life, a potion of life, Sam Chaim. And also there is an extensive commentary on Masechta Bava Basra, which then is called Aliyos Rabbeinu Yonah, and so on. The Pirish that Rabbeinu Yonah writes on Masechta Sovis and on Mishle, basically it's full of incisive concepts of Musar, which are very often quoted by other Mefarshim, many Mefarshim, who draw on the teachings of Rabbeinu Yonah. In particular, in that is Rabbeinu Bechayev. Rabbeinu Bechayev, of course, one of the most very extra choshev Pirushim that we have on Chumash. Rabbeinu Bechayev, again, you're going back, you know, to the 13th century. And Rabbeinu Bechayev, he writes the following, and basically, and he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, which is our Mishle, and he says the following. And that is that Rabbeinu Bechayev, we know that many, many portions which he, as an introduction to a parasha, to a seder, Rabbeinu Bechayev, before he starts a new parasha, which has a commentary of sorts as an introduction, and many, many times it's because he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. And the following words, just kedai to hear the two lines of what Rabbeinu Bechayev writes. He writes, "Umeperusha echad kodesh medaber." He says, of the commentary of someone who is a holy man. He says, "Nechbodos u'nechoichos," one who speaks glorious words, and one who speaks proper words. He says, "Ezkor," I will mention b'mekoymos, I will cite like excerpts in various places. He says, "Berosh ha'psichos," at the beginning of my prefaces. He says, "To many Torah portions." So, as the hadoma to my introductions, right to Ben Ochayah, I will quote from Echod Kodesh, from a holy man who is medaber, who speaks nechbodos u'nechoichos, someone who speaks glorious words and very proper words. And he goes on, who ish elokim, he's a man of God, ish elokim b'toira amoid upino, and in addition to that, he's a pillar and a cornerstone of the Torah. Who harav ha'godol, this is the great Rav, he says, Rabbeinu Yonah, and so on. And then he goes on further and he says, I will place his commentary, says Rabbeinu Bechayev, as a crown of fine gold upon my head. And he says, I need it to revive my soul, my neshama. So writes Rabbeinu Bechayev. How much more precious is his work than gold and all precious stones? He realizes, Rabbeinu Bechayev, we're talking about a rish in his own right who stands out, does not need any introduction. We're talking about, you know, these are the peers, you know, the generations. Rashi Rambam, after Rashi Rambam, Tosfos, this is that kufa. He's talking about the Middle Ages. Talking about these are all the great Rishayim, the great of the greats. And to hear something like that, you know, how he talks about Rabbeinu Yonah. Interesting on Mishle, it's kedai to mention, he says, some beautiful words of Musar concepts in terms of how a person, what's the best way, he delineates, he says, a number of sentences or practices of how the proper way for a person wants to acquire Torah wisdom. What's the best way to acquire Torah wisdom? So he writes the following. There are actually four steps. There are four steps for a person to attain Torah wisdom. Number one, Listen attentively, he says, to your teacher and mentor. First thing. Listen attentively. Pay attention. Second thing he writes, remove all extraneous desires of the Yetzirah and strive to understand the deeper meaning of that which one has taught. In other words, don't be satisfied with just superficiality, but try to really absorb and try to really go deeper and to try to understand really the core of that which is being taught. And interesting, he says, the third thing, pray to Hashem for understanding. Pray to Hashem, down to Hashem's understanding. And then he goes on to say, in addition, after all that, he says, it's important to study with joy. When somebody studies something, you know, haphazardly, like you're being forced to study, it doesn't really go into your head. When someone doesn't really enjoy what you're learning, and that's really, I say many times in many yeshivas, and sometimes, you know, the yeshiva dinners, is that part of the reason is that maybe that talmidim are not so much clear today is because they just don't enjoy the learning. There's many reasons for that. Sometimes maybe it's not one for all. It's not the same subject matter or the same level for everybody. So you have people right in the 9th grade, the 10th grade, 11th grade, but some of them can make it, some of them can't. And those that are not able to really comprehend and to appreciate what's being learned, so they just will fall behind. And they're being forced to do it with something which they just don't seem to have any appreciation for it, because they don't really, really understand what is there to be understood. So then you're not going to be much clear, you're not going to have success. But Ben Yehuda said to study, first of all, with great diligence and with joy. You know what kind of joy? As the one who's seeking a great treasure. Right? Imagine the joy, right? Someone's looking for a treasure. The greatest of it. That's the way a person should appreciate knowledge. To study it with joy. So these are really the keys to success. You understand what he pointed out in the third item? He says to pray to Hashem. Because you realize, you know, wisdom of Torah is not the same way as studying any other discipline. Because Torah is the Chokhmah of Hashem. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chokhmah. And therefore, whereas when it comes to studying, you know, with secular disciplines, whatever it is, whether it's mathematics, whether it's physics, whether it's the medicine, of course, you know, that is something which, again, if a person's intelligence or his IQ is higher, of course, it will have greater success. The more time you're putting up, more success. Torah is also something which, even if a person, let's say, is not, by nature, right, intellectually superior, but the Chokhmah Hashem is something which Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you if you feel that you are worthy of it and you really want it. Because when you're studying Torah, you're studying the wisdom of Hashem. The wisdom of Hashem does not go by the natural order of things. And therefore, Ben Yoyi makes a point, he says, Dam to Hashem. Dam to Hashem for understanding. What's an interesting thing with the Chazinish, was the Gadol Hador, was Nifter. So his brother, Remeir Karelis, who survived him, was Masperim. He eulogized him. By the way, this yeshiva in Bnei Brak is called Beis Meir. Yeshiva is Beis Meir. That's on the name of Remeir Karelis after he passed away. So Remeir Karelis, who again was the brother of the Chazinish, and he pointed out and he said the following. He said, everybody understands and knows that my brother, said the Chazanish, was recognized. He was the Gadol Hador, he was the greatest of the generation. And of course, he says, he had a great mind, and he was tremendously studious, as a Gvaldig Masmid, tremendous Masmid. But people don't realize there's one other side of him. That when he davened Shemoneh Esrei, when he came to Atah Chayin El Adam Das, he was Shofer Demoyos. He literally poured his heart out, he's asking Hashem to give him Das, to give him knowledge, to give him understanding. So that's a great aspect also, which sometimes just gets lost in a situation. Because in addition to everything else, he was very much mispal to Kodesh Baruch Hu to give him success, that he should be able to grow even to a higher level. What's an important thing is that one of the great poskim, which has the Marsham, which is the grandfather of Rav Shlomo Shvadron. And by the way, my Shabbos name was also Sholem Mordechai HaKoyin Shvadron. It was the poskim of the generation of his time. And going back, you know, a little bit less than 100 years or so, around that. And so he brings down, he says, from one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Shmuelke of Nicholsburg. Rabbi Shmuelke of Nicholsburg said that a day that he did not say proper Ahava Rabba with Kavona, because in Havarabba you say, V'horei neinu b'sar sechor b'nishtom, enlighten my eyes. Right? So he did not say, and he says, V'sein b'li b'inu b'inu l'hovin l'haske l'shmoy y'alim v'lamed, but give me knowledge, give me understanding, give me havona. A day, if he didn't say Havarabba with kavona, he said Reb Shmuelke, and by the way, Hashem is saying that as a poisik. He said, Reb Shmuelke said, a day that I did not say this with kavona, with proper, right? He says, that day, I was not successful in being mechadish, he says, an emes de gechidish in Torah. Because I didn't have the proper Siyata Dishmaya. So again, it's Siyata Dishmaya, which is a great, great part of it when it comes to learning Torah. So learning Torah, the success of learning Torah, I mentioned many times, many of you might have the same experience, you know, going to yeshiva days, you know, there are different levels of students, chaverim, you have some that you that excelled very much, you know, they were the top of the class, and then there were others that were weaker, and then there were some of them were in the middle of the road. And now I remember in particular that many, you know, that seemed to be very, very promising, and one would only look towards the future that one day that they will really amount to be something great in the Jewish community, you know, maybe a great rov, maybe a dayan or something like that. Nothing happened. Whatever reason, many reasons, but it just didn't materialize. And then I remember somebody who was very, very average, really very, very average. And still hard for me to believe today. He's in Bar Prague, he's a Choshev Adayin, one of the most Choshev Moyeros. I remember him, he was a few classes, a few grades under me. And literally, very, very average. But Lamaisa, you know, he sat, put in the time, hours and hours and hours. And with Yer Shemayim also. And so it's a different mahalach, you know, having succeeding in Torah does not work with the same way of having success when it comes to other disciplines. And that's what I mentioned. There was a Talmud in Yerushalayim many, many years ago who was very, very weak. Especially he had his memory was something that as much as he seemed to review his studies, he seemed to forget a week later or something. So Emory came to a test or something, he was not able to retain. So as much as he learned, the question of Shvach as he calls, a weak memory. And it happened is that a great tzaddik came to Yerushalayim at that particular, that was in the early 50s. And so they said to him, go to him, and ask him for a bracha. He did, he went. His Rebbe, his name was David. Rebbe's name was Rabbi Schlesinger, was his name. That was the name of the Rebbe. He said to him, go to the tzaddik, ask him for a bracha. He asked him for a bracha, and he says, it was an amazing thing, he said. He comes back, he says, at the end of the year, he says, we learned the Masechta Bava Metzia, and he knew the half of Masechta by heart. The entire Masechta, he knew it by heart. Figure out what happened. So he says, that the Rebbe told me to do Zgula the Rashi. And somehow he left. But they didn't tell him what the Zgula of Rashi was. The Rebbe told him to do the Zgula of Rashi. Zgula of Rashi, what's Rashi? Rashi gives you a Zgula. So the Rebbe went over to, in Yerushalayim at that time, was Rav Pinchas Epstein. He was with the Reish Bezin of the Eidach Reidus, of the Badatz of Yerushalayim. And he had a mastery, you know, over all areas of Torah. He starts thinking, well, there's not a Rashi in Chumash, there's no Zgula in Rashi, but memory, you know, to have success in remembering things. And he goes over all over the place, and he says, I can't imagine, go through Tanakh, tell me, where's the Zgula of Rashi? And then all of a sudden he says, I got it, he says. Look at Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches. You know what Rashi says? Rashi says over there, on top of the Yomid, Im Hoyim Mishakeach Talmud, if somebody's forgetting his learning, Yarech Bechoinei Nadoas. When you Dam Shemon Esrei, be Marech, put an extra emphasis on Choinei Nadoas. Ato Choinei Nadoas. That's Rashi telling you that. So Rashi was a genius in his own right. Rashi tells you, you need tefillah. Yarech Bechoinei Nadoas. So components of the Koyach of tefillah plays a great role in terms of success when it comes to learning. Just one more thing also. And that is, you know, and that just, yeah, another big difference is, you know, in terms of succeeding, you know, in terms of learning Torah as opposed to learning anything else. Because in any other discipline, certainly secular disciplines, your private life, no matter how lowly a person you might be in your private life, no matter how immoral or no matter how corrupt one is, has nothing to do. You can be a professor, you can be a highly intellectual person, and one has nothing to do with the other. When it comes to succeeding in Torah, it does not go like that. Any person who is a leader of the Jewish community, in terms of that we learn from him, it's not only his greater knowledge, but his great, his meticulous, I mean, pious in every area, which means that the tzidkis and the goyness go together. It's someone who merely has a lot of Torah knowledge does not make it, does not cut it out, because you will not have the siyata d'shmaya when it comes to halacha, when it comes to practical decisions, it does not work. And this, as you can see, you can point out to any Odom Gadol, any great man, you know, who plays a role in the Jewish community, is equally a great tzaddik the same way. But you can really say, Rav Moshe Feinstein, you can go, you can pick your Odom Gadol, whoever it is, it goes together. The goyness and the tzidkis go together. You know, you have to be a refined person in character. And that's one of the major differences. We mentioned right in the past, you know, Aristotle, you know, was a great, great philosopher, one of the greatest. The Rambam calls him, you know, he's one madrega less than a prophet, almost, as far as intellectual capacity. The Rambam, talking about Aristoi, That's a kozam. But his private life, if you're a little familiar with a little bit of the history. Now, he was a moshkes. So he once asked him, he says, how can this intellectual person, such a smart person like you, how can you have such a immoral lifestyle? He says, I'm only a philosopher from the shoulders up. From the shoulders down, he says, I'm something else. He says, but this is not the way it works when it comes, you know, to success in Torah. So I'm mentioning this, why? Because here the words of Rabbeinu Yoyin Masechtas Ovos. Ki tzorech tikun ha-midos tchila. A person, individual, has to improve his midos first, ethical development, and then he says, "V'achikach tiskayim isech chochmosoi." Only then will he retain Torah wisdom as a permanent acquisition. So you see here, the conditions of succeeding in Torah is totally different than succeeding in any other area, because Torah is something holy. You need the kedushas of Torah, and therefore you have to have the connection to Hashem to really have the success when it comes to learning Torah. So it goes together, the behavior and the knowledge is one and the same. You can't separate it. So we go, Rabbi, so let's go to the Ben Yoina that we have. We go here to Das Yud Zayin. Let's see what I have it over here. Yeah, you have another copy over here. I'm missing the copy. It's page Yud Zayin Yud. Now, the most editions of other editions have the paragraphs. This is like one long paragraph. In the other editions, really, they are separated. You don't have the long paragraphs like that, which really breaks it up into. So here, Daf Yud Zayin, you find it, which is Ois Yud, that's on top of the line. If you go down about 9 lines, which is really a separate paragraph in other editions, Va'omru Zechroinim Levracha, go down 9 lines. Va'omru Zechroinim Levracha. You can find it? All right. Middle of the line. Va'omru Zechroinim Levracha, okay. He says, Chazal told Rachachom and told Rebbe Masechta Sovos. Everybody heard of this one. There are three things that the world stands on. There are three pillars that hold up the world. It's Allah Torah, right? It's the study of Torah. It's also behaving in the ways of Torah. Val Avodah, and right, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Val Gemilas Chesedim, and doing acts of Chesed. Now when it talks about Avodah, originally Avodah meant, which is the Avodah in the Beis HaMidrash, which was Avodah Zuhi, Avodah Sakrabonis. Originally what Avodah meant was the Avodah of the Krabonis, which were the sacrifices which were done at the time that we had a Beis HaMidrash. As a matter of fact, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, even those that were not actually involved in the Korbanos, but were davening, v'gam kol Yisrael b'mkoy moysom, but all the Jewish people, there, you know, in different areas, were davening b'shoyis akvuyis, in the established hours, la'krovis ha'korbanos. In other words, the established hours, when you knew that the Beis HaMikdash there would be sacrificing Korbanos, the Jewish people in different areas would daven, were done for the sake of the Korbanot, that they should be accepted. Shiskaplu berotzon kishbrachu, should accept it with will. Vishishap elohem behem, and they should be able to receive atonement through the Korbanos. V'cheinom adover ha-melech olav ha-sholem, the melech also said, Erev v'boikem v'tzoharoyim, whether it's Erev, whether it's in the evening, whether it's in the morning, or tzoharoyim, or it's noontime, or sicho v'ehemem. In other words, throughout the day I will be davening to you. That's why we have Shacharis, we have Minchah, we have Maariv. So it's Erev, Ubaikir, Esroim. Osicha means I will supplicate, I will daven to you, Ve'ehemen. And I will moan, which means all my problems I will hand over to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zmanim of Tefillah that we daven, which is Maariv, or Shacharis, or Smincha, these are the same time, they correspond to the times, Vehem or Itim Akvuim Lakrovis HaKorbanos. These correspond to the established times when they used to sacrifice the Korbanos. Koshomru Bebrochus, the Gemara says in Masechta Bebrochus, that Tfilos, the davening that we do, correspond, Kenegit Tmidim Tikkun. They respond to the daily offerings. So when you had a Beis HaMikdash, of course, first of all, twice a day, you had the Korban Tomis, the Kevesechotas, the Babrikir. You had one Korban Tomis, which is in the morning. And then you had the Teres Hasheni Tasa Ben Rabbaim. He had the second carbon, which was in the afternoon. Right? These are the two carbon tomes. So that's Shachar is really a mincha. Ma'ariv will soon see. K'mashamu bebrachas, the Gemara says in the Brachas, Tefillah is the davening, is keneged t'midim tikkun, as we said. These are keneged, these are corresponding to the daily offerings. There were two daily offerings, no matter what. Even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, right, they brought these two offerings, which was one korban tomid in the morning, and one korban tomid. Tomid means consistency. Consistency every day that they brought these two korbanos. Tanya. Kavosa Reb Shimon Levi. The Gemara says we have a brisa that supports what Reb Shimon Levi said. Mitema omru tfilas hashachar ad chatzos. Why is it that the Chachomim said that tfilas hashachar shachrus one can daven until noon? Why? Because sharei tomid shel shachar, because the morning tomid, the daily offering, the morning tomid, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, the morning tomid, you were able to sacrifice at any time until noon. So therefore the Chachamim's opinion is, so Shachris also, which corresponds to that, you can daven until noon. And why was it said that Tfilas HaErev, that Ma'ariv Ein Lo Kiva, Ma'ariv, for example, you can daven all night. Why? Because Ma'ariv is corresponds to what? Ma'ariv corresponds, let me just explain something. The avoid of a carbon, the service of a carbon can only be done during the day. The shechting of a carbon during the day. The last avoid of a carbon basically is the zrikas adam, which is the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach. That all has to be done before shkia, before sundown. Now, if it's a carbon oilo, which is a total, right, which is a carbon that's not eaten, which is totally, so the limbs that have to be burnt, that can be burnt even at night. And that can be all night. Or the fat of any carbon, the fat of any carbon is allowed to be burnt all night. So therefore, the evarim, the limbs, upedarim, the fat of a carbon, shloinis achlum bebayoyim, that were not consumed during the day, or you crave them, v'holchen kol alaylo. You were able to offer them, and they were consumed all night. So ma'ariv is corresponding to the limbs that were burnt all night, and to the fat of a carbon. And what about musaf? Mitema omru tfilas of musafim kol hayoyim. Musaf, you also can daven all day. Technically, you can daven before shkia, to all the way up to shkia, if you didn't daven musaf. So why? Shaykh, right? Korban musaf kol hayoyim. Because the korban musaf, which is on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh also, you can sacrifice it all day. Rebuta says, at sheva shoyis. Rebuta says, musaf, we don't pass on that. Buddha says Musa can only be done until 7 hours in the day. Assume the day starts at 6, right? So the 7 hours is at 1 o'clock. Because Buddha says that the Korb Musaf, Korb Ha'olach only at Sheva Shores, that it was, they sought to offer it only until 7 hours. The point is, you see, is that the davening that we daven today correspond to the korbanos that we used to have. So if Atfilo is Bizman Hazeh, and therefore the Atfilo is the davening that we do today, She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Heim Bimkoim, HaKorbonos. They correspond to the Korbonos. So what you really have to understand is when you daven today, it's like doing a Korban like when you had a Beis HaMikdash. Every time we daven, it's not just saying words. We have to imagine as if we have a Beis HaMikdash, and you are actually bringing a Korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it were when you had a Beis HaMikdash. So it goes on now and he points out the following. Listen to what Rabbi Yechon says in Masechet Brachos. A person who really wants to accept upon himself oil malchus shalema, shamayim shalema. A person wants to accept upon himself, right, the yoke of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. How does a person mekabel upon himself? You get up in the morning, and a person wants to accept upon himself, I accept myself, the right? I accept myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dominion upon myself, completely. The way that it's done, says the Gemara, Noikul Yodov, a person washes first his hands, and the idea of washing one's hands first, Rav Avraham ben Rambam, Rambam had a son, Rav Avraham. Bavon writes in the same way that we know that the Kohen, when he did the Avodah in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing he did is he washed his hands, Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim. He sanctified both his hands and his feet. As we say in the Korbanos, Vayidaber Hashem L'Moshe Shalemar, Rasisa Kohen Nechoshes V'Chanan Nechoshes, Rasa B'nei Han, right? As Yedayim V'Raglayim. So we also are, in a certain sense, we are like the Kohen. When we daven, we are like the Kohen doing the Avodah. So the first thing is Noitel Yodo. We wash our hands, Meniach Tfilin, a Yid puts on film, the Koyer of Kriya Shema, and he says, Shema, Shema Yisrael, when he's following the Davins, when you do that, Malo Olav HaKosuv, the Posek considers it, Kilobono Mizbeach, It's as if you built an altar, putting on tefillin, reciting Krishna properly, davening, you get credit as if you actually built a mizbeach vehikruv olav karbon, and you were makru the karbon, you sacrificed the karbon. Shenema, the posuk says in Tehillim, Echat benikyon kapai, I will wash my hands in purity, and of course this would lead, then I daven. So Vasoivivas Mizbachako Hashem, it's as if I'm surrounding myself around your altar. In other words, doing this is if like I build a Mizbeach and I makriv a carbon. So I want to recite to you what it says here, two things. What it says here says a person maniach tefillin, puts on tefillin in the morning and he recites Krishna. So here again you see that this is a Gemara in Brochus, Daf Tezvov. And we have Rabbeinu Yoina. We're studying now Rabbeinu Yoina, who's quoting the Gemara in Brochus. And if you open up a Gemara in Brochus, you'll see Rabbeinu Yoina says the following. He says the following. We have two chalokim over here, putting on tefillin and reciting Krishna. He says, what is the relationship between putting on tefillin and reciting Krishna? So I'll read you the words. Tam hadover. First of all, what's the difference between tefillin on the head and the tefillin on the arm? Say Rabbeinu Yoina. Tefillin sheberoish, when a person puts on tefillin on his head, you know what that means? It's not just putting something on your head. The tefillin, of course, which contain, of course, the holy parashas. It contains the parashas of Krishna in it. But you know what it means when you put on tefillin on your head? Tefillin sheberosh or the mishabed lebayre yizbarach haneshome shebemoyach. It means is that you are dedicating your mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means that a person dedicates his mind, which means that the things that he thinks about will be pure thoughts. Of course, we are human beings. Many times all kinds of different thoughts come across my mind. But that does not take away from what the goals. A person should have a goal to have his mind to be as pure as possible. What enables a person to do that when he puts on tefillin. So the holy tefillin that's on the person's mind is something where thereby a person is mishabed, he dedicates. I give you my mind, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give you my mind. And by the way, the neshama of a person, the soul, mainly rests in the mind, rests in the moyach. So the tefillin sheberosh, says Rabbeinu Yoina, a person therefore, it's on the head. That's where the brain is. So I dedicate my brain to you. That what? That I should use my brain for the right things. And the tefillin on the hand, the tefillin shebizroya, I also dedicate. Mishabed gufoy, a person dedicates his body. A person dedicates his body, that's why the tefillin is opposite the heart. Because the tefillin on the hand, on the arm, is opposite the heart. Because the heart is ikar hatayves amachshavas. The heart is the seat of desire. You say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I give my desires to you. I give my machshavas to you. Hopefully I should be successful to be able to think about the right things and be able to do the right things. Ubezeh yizkar es aboyre. So by having the tefillin on his head and on his arm, this will always keep him mindful of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the yamid hanoisav. And therefore, he will not indulge. He will not indulge in what's called in the pursuit, he says, merely of worldly matters, thinking that's the main thing, but rather utilize everything, he says, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if a person dedicated his life, Tfil Shoyad, a person dedicated his mind, now Krishna, right, is very appropriate. What's Krishna? Krishna is a person says, Shema Yisrael, that I am Makabal upon myself, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion. Well, if you're really makabal, if you're really accepting upon yourself Krishna Baruch Hu dominion, the way that you're doing it is because I'm dedicating, right? I'm serving you, I'm subservient to you, because my whole being belongs to you. So by putting on the tefillin, after you put on the tefillin, which means that you are making yourself subservient, that means you're accepting upon yourself Krishna Baruch Hu's royalty. That's why Krishna, which is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, how do you accept Ol Malchus Shemayim? By being mevatel yourself to Krishna Baruch Hu. The tefillin shorosh, the tefillin sheyad, I mishabed my moya. I mishabed my goof, my desire, and thereby now, this way, if I really am giving it to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that means Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim. That's one thing. The next thing. Rapinachas Bishem Rabbi Shia Omer. Rapinachas, the name of Rabbi Shia, says the following. Rapinachas says, Kol Mispalel Beis HaKnesses. It's also a Yerushalmi. When a person really is Mispalel Beis HaKnesses, means a person goes and he davens in a shul, Yerushalmi says as if he sacrificed a pure mincha. Mincha is a meal offering. In other words, because tefillah davening is like a korban. So if you daven in a shul, it's like you were makriv, like you sacrificed, you brought to a Kodesh Baruch Hu a meal offering. Shereimah kasher yaviu b'nei Yisrael es mincha. The pasuk says, "Bekli tor." You bring the mincha in a pure vessel, based Hashem in the house of Hashem. In other words, Mefarshim point out the following: what's the connection davening in shul is bringing a mincha tohera? Well, the point is like this: in the same way that a mincha that is bought in a pure kli. Right? A mincha is bought in a pure kli. That enhances the mincha, the offering to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaKnesses, the shul, is the kli, is the vessel for the davening. It's like the container of the davening. And therefore, davening in a shul gives much more, right? Lends much more cheshivas, importance to the davening, than if a person would daven elsewhere. As a matter of fact, there are opinions, by the way, there are opinions in the poskim that if there's no minyan in the shul, for example, sorry, too late, there's no more minyan. So you have to daven by yourself. So there's some opinions say, even if you daven by yechid, you have daven by yourself, it's better to daven by yechid in a shul than to daven outside of the shul. Because the shul happens to be, this is the mokum tefillah, this happens to be the place that's designated for davening. This is the mokum of Kedusha. This is the place where the tefillahs go up to Shemayim. So there are many opinions that if you don't have a minyan in the shul, it's still better to daven in an empty shul than to daven in an empty house, you know, and so on and so forth. One more over here, Rabbi Yisai. Om Rabula, says Rabula, Kol HaKoyre Krishma Beloit Film. Right? Ki ilu made Eidi Sheker B'yatzmoy. In other words, in the film it says, in the Parsha of Krishma it says, Ukshartam Loisal Yodecho V'yitotuvat Benenecho. So here you are saying in the Parsha of Krishma that I'm putting on film. So if you're saying Krishma without film, it's like someone is being made Eidi Sheker, is bearing false testimony. And Rabbi Rabban Rabbi Yechin says, "Kilu hikrav oila b'loy mincha." It's like somebody brings an oila, but does not bring what's supposed to be accompanied. A korban oila has to accompany a mincha, has to accompany it. If you bring an oila without a mincha, it's not a korban shalema. It's not a complete korban. The same thing, also like zevach b'loy nisachim. A person brings a korban without the wine pouring that's supposed to also come together. You're only bringing a chelik of the korban. Which means from here, again, if a person is Kaya Krishma without film, you lose out. Mechlau was inferred, Shakaya Krishma bit film, but if you do recite it with film, Kilo Hikrav Oila Mincha, it's as if you brought a perfect korban, an oil on a mincha, Zevach on the you brought a korban and the Nesachim, Vashem Espawa Karoyu, Kilo Hikrav Korban Ketiknoi, like being Makriv a korban Ketiknoi. You see from here that all the thing, as Rabbi Yonah is trying to point out, that our tefillahs, which we that we daven today, is like bringing a korban to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But therefore it means also the same thing as Ramchal points out, the same way when a Kohen brought a korban, he had to have pure machshavas. Because you know, if a Kohen had an impure thought, like a machshava was called pigal, which means a certain machshavas, right? It puzzles the Korban. It ruins, it disqualifies the Korban. For example, if a Kohen had a machshava, he's supposed to shecht, let's say, he's a Korban oiler, right? And he has a mind, a different Korban. He's supposed to shecht a chatos, right? And he has a mind. So the bad machshavas puzzle the Korban. Davening also. A person's supposed to have his mind appropriately. When you're davening, you should dedicate your mind to davening. And I think that we're going to see, I think, very fascinating things. If you look at the sheet, we'll need a little more time for it, so take a look at the sheet and we'll see a number of quite fascinating things which will help us really understand here what we see here in Rabbeinu Yonah. The first item we have here, It's amazing words here of the Nefesh HaChaim, which is Reb Chaim Volozhin. It's in Shah Beis Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin. First of all, you have to realize that the davening that was chosen by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, by the great sages of the assembly, going back many, many years ago, every word, really, it's like counted. Every word is there for a specific reason. And many, I say, as much as we would understand the simple translation, you take yourself, you're art cross sitter, you know, but that barely scratches the surface. Because they are really code words for so much more that's behind it. Listen to the words of the Nefesh HaChaim here. First, it starts like this. The proper Eitzah says how a person should daven properly. He says, you know that the Beis Yosef had a Magid, which was a Malach that came, really, who taught him Torah. well-known thing, the Magid. And the Magid told the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, Bazar Beis Yibresha Sefer Magid Mishorim. The Sefer is called Magid Mishorim, because that's the Sefer where the Malach taught the Beis Yosef and was recorded. The Zela Shoinoi. This is what the Magid told the Beis Yosef. Lizoher, be careful. Milachshe b'shas tefila b'shum machshove. When you're davening, don't think about anything else. Only what's at hand. The davening at hand. Afilu al Torah mitzvahs. You that? Even Torah mitzvahs. Sometimes somebody's davening right and he's thinking about something in Chumash. So, all right, listen. For I'm thinking about Torah. No. Zman Torah lechud. Zman tefila lechud. Davening has a separate time and Torah. When you're davening, says the Magid, your concentration should be on the davening. Should not even be thinking about Torah mitzvahs. Ki im b'teva is hatfila atzmon. Only regarding the words of the davening. Says Reb Chaim Voloshin, doik b'dvorov. Be medayik, in other words, look at the words. Look at the words seriously, very seriously, meticulously. Shloi Omar, you notice, he didn't even say, lechavin b'kavonas hatevas. He didn't say that what? That try to have in mind the deep meaning of the words. You know why? Because we'll never fathom the deep meaning of the words. Ki be'emes ba'oimik pnimiyas kavonas hatfila, ein itono yodei adma. Because there's so many secrets, there's so many soidas that's behind each and every word, it's quite impossible that we should be able to fathom it. So the Magid told the Beis Yosef, I'm not asking for you any deep things. I'm asking simply concentrate on the words. I'm not even asking you in the Kavonas Atfila. Because Kavonas Atfila are so deep and go so far, it's unlimited. Look what Chaim Voloshin says. The truth is that Rizal came. The Rizal came and he had the tremendous power of right of Kabbalah. He revealed what's called Kavonas Atfila. So he said, as much as the Rizal revealed right behind the scenes, the deep Kavonas, the deep Kavonas of Tfila, he says, there's so much more that's not revealed, he says. Ki gam mashin is galolonu ketzas Kavonas Atfila, Rabbeinu HaRishonim Zal. He says, Kadisha Elyon, where the great Rebbes, that Achroi, and coming to the last one, the great Hayrav HaKodesh Ishelikim Noira, Rizal. Asher Hifli Higdelasis Kavonis Tefloim. The Rizal revealed to us tremendous, unbelievable Kavonis and davening. Einon Be'erech Afketipe Minayam, does not amount even to one drop, like in the ocean. Klau Neged Pnimius Oimik Kavonis Anchekness Zagdoil Mesakne Atfila. When the Anshe Knesset Zagdoila put together the davening as we have it today, we have no idea of how much they, what if, in other words, they programmed into the words amazing things that our minds are not even able to capture. And as much as we capture, it would be like a tip of an ayam, like a drop of the ocean. The Anshe Knesset Zagdoila were 120 sages, Shoroyu Kuf Kof Zakenim, and among them were Kama Neviim. Our mind, in no way, says Reb Chaim Voloshin, are able at all, he says, to comprehend what that means. And he says, V'chol Mevin Yovin, anybody who has a little bit of understanding will understand. There is no one, he says, there's no one, he says, Isa Enish Al Yabeshta, there's nobody on this dry land, on this earth. Sheyuchel Lesakin Tikun Nifle V'noiru Kazev. It only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one who would have the ability to be able, right, to establish the kind of davening. Because when we daven, Rabbi Isai, it's not just we're saying words, but what it means is, in Shema, it's like remote control. You have a button, you know, you push a button over here and it has them. So he said, when we daven over here, you have no idea the tikkunim and the things that take place in Shemayim. No one would be able to compose, he says, tefillahs that would have this remote control ability. Lichloil, to include, velignois, and to hide into the words. Bematbeya tefillah, right? In the matbeya, in the construction of the davening, kevua, uzdura benusach echod, hatikkunim shekolo oilemis, el yoyim tachtoinim. It's not possible, he says. So this is something, he says, and therefore, all that we ask is, when you daven, concentrate on the simple translation of the words, he says. And the rest, it's like a program. You just have in mind the simple translation of the words, as the Magid said to Rabbi Yosef, and whatever these words are supposed to take effect, it'll happen. It's like pushing a button, he points out. Now, so I want you to show something. Go to number two for a moment. It's a sefer called Hakdomos Usharim. It's a very fascinating thing coming up. It tells about the Vilna Goyim. Who's greater than the Vilna Goyim, if you think about it? Look what happened to him once when he was davening. A very amazing thing. The Sefer HaKdomos HaShoyim is also, it's a pirush on the Nefesh HaChaim. Okay, on the words of the Nefesh HaChaim, number two, right? Lehizoyah melachshu b'shasa tefillah, right? These were the words that the Maggid told the Bishoy, so we had a moment ago. Be careful from thinking during davening b'shu machshove. Don't think about anything. Afilu shel toiru mitzvahs. Now, ma'acha v'koshu ma'oid b'doiris halolu. Being that it's very difficult in our time, lechavin, we are so driven, right? We are so driven by so many things in our daily life. The oil yigiyas apanosa, which is of course, which we are driven according to the difficulty of making a living. And we are so confused, right? And we are inundated, right? Of everything which deals in this world over here. So the Nefesh HaChaim told us, Kosa Nefesh HaChaim Eise Lechavona B'Tfilah, and that is Mashomer HaMagid L'Bes Yosef, Shleilach Shem B'Shas HaTfilah Shum Achshove, HaTfilah B'Toyer Mitzvahs, Rak B'Tevis HaTfilah. The whose gula nifloye, this is a tremendous gula bodu kumenusa. It works. Levatel ulahesa miolov kol machshoves ahevole matoidos oisoy. In other words, this is what a person should concentrate. When you're davening, set up your mind, push everything aside. My mind now should focus on davening. Now listen, what happened? Valderach zeh is etzilus rabbeinu agro. This is the way the davening was, the goyim, the Vilna goyim, k'mashikosu b'hagdoma, as is written, what he's going to mention right now, was written the hagdoma to the Bir HaGro. The Gro wrote, the Vilna goyim, wrote a pirish on a sefer called Safra Ditzniyusa, which is a sefer of Kabbalah, deep, deep Kabbalah, and the goyim wrote a pirish. Now, in the hagdoma is written the following. Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote the introduction, and he says, Omar Li, says, my Rebbe, the Vilna Goyen, once told me, listen to this, it's an amazing thing. Pamachas hera'uni min ha-shemayim goyidu inyan ha-tfilah. In other words, once something happened to me that they showed me min ha-shemayim, right, how great the inyan of davening is. You think the Goyen didn't know till now? So much as the Goyen knew, he says, I was still shown min ha-shemayim the greatness of the inyan of davening. And Vezela Shoina, this is what he said. I once had tremendous difficulty, and I tried to understand Al Havonas Maimer Echod Bezoyer HaKodesh. There was a particular Maimer in the Zoyer HaKodesh. The Vilna Goyim was a tremendous Baal Mekubal. Besides, he was the Goyim, the master of all of all Torah. But he was, in addition to that, he was a master in Kabbalah. A master in Kabbalah. There was a particular area in the Zoyer HaKodesh that he didn't understand. He didn't understand, according to the way he was supposed to understand it. So he says, Imamish, he troubled and he toiled. Yegiyas Rabbis, as much as he tried and I tried to understand a Maimon Zohar Kodesh, Binyona de Rosh Chodesh. It was an Indian of Rosh Chodesh. Yud Bei Shavuim, 12 weeks. The Goyen said, 12 weeks I was working to try to understand a passage in the Zohar Kodesh. I was not able to explain it, right? Lamitoy, which would be a true. It was one day of Rosh Chodesh, particularly Rosh Chodesh. The Omdil is Paul Tfilas Amida. I was just starting to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Guess what? Of all time, the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the pshat comes to my mind. I was working on it, and he says, look, I was working 12 weeks. And now a treasure came into my mind. In the middle of davening, Shemoneh Esrei, he says, "Berega echol." One moment, nofal b'machshavti, what came into my machshove, be'oisay maimer. Not only that, to explain it 7 different ways, an amazing treasure. I worked on it for so many weeks, couldn't figure it out. All of a sudden, in one moment, during Shemoneh Esrei, all of a sudden, it came in a shemayim to be able to explain it. Al shivay fanim. So what did I do? If I don't absorb it, I'm going to lose it. So I thought to myself, he says, 15 seconds, I'll stop davening. Just for 15 seconds, just to think about it. And then, 15 seconds, how bad can that be already? I'll stop davening for 15 seconds. So, v'shohisi, k'moy rev a minute, a quarter of a minute, right? A quarter of a minute, he says. But Shahisi, I stopped. Notice I, before four can take down, Shahisi. But Shahisi said, I spent like a quarter of a minute. But Sodati b'machshavti, and I was misadrid. I was misadrid this in my mind. Vishub chazati, and I continued. Ligmar tefilos, continued to finish the davening. After I finished davening, his benamti al amarit. So now he said, I was thinking back of what happened. Lachzer aleihem. I wanted now to chazer over what came to my mind. The hinei ma'uma. It's gone. It's gone. I received, he says, I received the matar, I received a gift min Hashemayim, he says, something I was working on to try to understand it, right, for so many weeks. But that gift came to me, he started speaking in the middle of Shemayim Esrei. So I stopped to absorb it.
Yeah.
How long? A quarter of a minute. Quarter of a minute, that's all. And I finished davening. I finished davening, it's gone. Benista'arti al deharba, I had tremendous sar. He says, guess what happened? It's Rosh Chodesh, right? So now he says, by Musaf it comes to him again. By most of it comes to him again. This time, he didn't even stop to think about it. Even though he needed it. Even though he was dying to have it. He had it, he lost it. And it came to him again in the Shemayin Esrei of Musa. But this time he said, you know what? As simple, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to hold myself back. But Tfilas Musaf Shuf Noflu. Again, B'machshavti, Kol Hashim V'Yifal, Mamish, all of the seven things. V'loi Ponisi Machshavti Mitfilosi. I did not remove my Machshava from davening. Me'uma, even a bit. V'lo'nasati Dati did not allow my mind to think about it. I'm not in the middle of davening. Guess what? When I finished davening, it all came back to me. Hashem gave it back to me. So what do you see? That when he did the wrong thing, when in the middle of davening he was thinking about it, he lost it. But then Hashem gave him another chance. Okay, now by Musaf, I'm going to give it back to you. He did not allow it to disturb his davening, not at all. He got it back, he says. He says, it's a fantastic thing, he says. When I was Messiah, my tefillin nimsu aruchem shmurim lefonai. I found the mamish was right there, prepared for me. The kosav shom, so Reb Chaim writes, umezeh tovin goydal kedushas taharas machshavtei shel agro betefillin. Here you can see the great purity of the machshava. Asher gam zeh hoyenechshav etzlo lemachshava zor. Even thinking about Zohar HaKodesh is considered to be a foreign machshava. Does not belong by davening. No matter, and Torah mitzvahs don't belong thinking during davening. Davening is only one thing. It's only davening. That gives a little bit of idea. So I want to show you something that when we have all the time, which is by Chazoras Hashatz, you know, when you hear the Shemayin Esrei over again, right? So look here at just a few things, just a few lines over here. First, look here at the Shulchan Aruch. We have in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet, right? First, Siv Dalet we have over here. Kishushatz Chayzer Atzila, right? When the Shliach Sibur, right, repeats the Shemayin Esrei, Hakol Yeshlom Lishtoik, you have to keep quiet, not talk during then. Hakol Yeshlom Lishtoik, Ulechaven Lebrochus, now keep quiet. You have to be Mechaven, you have to hear the words, right, that the Chazan is saying. Lechaven Lebrochus Shemavarach HaChazan, Bala'anais Omen. Good, fine. Now next, Zayin. Bala'yasiach Sichas Chum. Should not speak any idle chatter. If he does speak during the repetition of Shemayin Esrei, who choite the God la'avoyne min esoy. Where was the last time? Can we remember God la'avoyne min esoy? Where is that posik? Whereby?
Kayin.
So God la'avoyne min esoy. What does it mean? Kayin said, right after he killed Hevel, Kayin said, "My avera is too great." My avera is too great than worthy. It's not worthy of being forgiven. It's too great to be forgiven. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the same thing. The same avera, like committing murder. So the Shulchan Aruch, God l'avoyne m'soy, if you talk during Chazoras Hashatz, it's the only place where the Shulchan Aruch says this. The God l'avoyne m'soy, the goyarim boy, he says, and you yell at him, keep quiet, the goyarim boy. Okay, now. Let's see what you gain. Now let's see what you gain when you hear it. Now you done the Shemayin Esrei, right? You done the quiet Shemayin Esrei already. What's the point of hearing it again? So let's find out. So we're going to do it like this. Go to number 5. This is the Beis Yosef. Go to number 5. Beis Yosef and so Chaim Sim Kuchav Dalet. Okay, the Beis Yosef brings down. Listen, this is an amazing thing. Look here, the Beis Yosef. V'chosav many once in a chumash here we brought this down. V'chosav Harav David Abu Draham. Abu Draham was in the 13th century. Okay, in the 1200s. He also lived in Spain in Toledo. And Abu Draham basically compiled the Seder of Davening and the various laws regarding Davening and so on. So Rabbeinu David Abu Draham writes in the beginning of his Sefer, but he writes Bishem Harav Avram ben Shushan, Sassoon. Sheisholosh Tfilos, the three Davenings that we daven, Shonos Palim B'chol Yoyim, Right? Yesh b'chalachas, yud tes brachas. Okay? Shemayin Esra really has 19 brachas. So if you daven 3 Shemayin Esras a day, how many brachas you have? 3 times 19? How many you have? 57. Zayin Nun, right? Zayin Nun brachas. 57. Okay. Now, look at Abu Raham writes. Now, if you daven with a minion, look what you gain. First of all, the first davening that you daven, that's the quiet Shemayin Esra, right? The first davening you daven, nechshev loy schar. Well, actually, say more than that. He said, interesting thing. You daven three Shemayin Esra, you daven three Shemayin Esra, you have 57 brachas. The Wid Rahab says, if you daven with a minion, one Shemayin Esra gives you 57 brachas. Again. If you daven separately, the Yechidus alone, by Isha Menesra, he has 19 brachas. 3 times 19 is 57. If you daven with a minion, then Isha Menesra has 57 brachas. How? How do you figure that? Let's take a look. Look, it says, look at this Chara Mespawa Matzibur, Ki Betzila Achas, Shi Mespawa Lemoem, one davening they davened with them, Nechshev Lo Ischar, Ki Mespawa, he gets the same Schar, by one Shema Nesra, Erev Aboike Vitzarayim Ki Biyochid. It's like davening three, alone. Kesa, listen with him. Tfilosoi Belachash Yutes. The Kwai Shema Nesra is already 19. The Chai Vodem Shlodo Daber, a person has a chiv not to talk during Shliach Tzibur Machzorat Tfilah, right? You're not supposed to speak by Shliach Chazor Sashatz. The Shliach Chavanen to keep in mind, right? Keep in mind, Lishmoya B'choseo, B'shemeya Koinen. Now, when the Chazan repeats the Shemayin Esra, Chazan repeats 19, the same 19. We have a klal shemeya koine. Hearing, listening, is like saying. So now, you get credit for another 19. Get credit for another 19. For example, right? One person makes Kiddush, right? And everybody else is Yotze. How? Because by listening, it's like you're saying it. Right? One person reads the Megillah, and everybody is Yotze. How are you Yotze? Everybody's supposed to read the Megillah. The listening, shemeya koine. So when you hear the Chazoras HaShatz of the 19 brothers, it's like you said it. You have another 19. Wait a minute. We're supposed to answer Omein also after every bracha. V'chayev odom la'anois Omein achakol bracha bracha. And Chazal said in bracha, you know what the Omein is? Godol ha'oine Omein yoyseh menam mevarech. The Omein is even greater than making the bracha. So the Omein gets credit for another bracha. So therefore you have 19 Omeins. Harei birech yutes brachas acheres. Nimtzot ha'kamzal ki betfila achas. Just one Shemayin Esra with a minion. One Shemayin Esra with a minion. One tefillah with a minion. Right? So v'meila noyseh mschar zayinun brachas. So therefore you have 57. You have 57 brachas. An amazing thing. So it's one davening with a minion, you have to really, but that depends. If you were listening to Chazor Shashatz and you answered Omein, so you have the 57 brachas. The only thing is Marav is a problem, right? Why? Marav does not have a Chazor Shashatz. But he figured that out also. To go further. Lefichach, go to the last line. Lefichach, second last line. In the middle, the third word of the second last line. Lefichach, tikno, okay, if you want to go back to the end of the previous line. Tfilas arvis, shen shlich tzibur magzat tfilah. By Mara, where the shlich tzibur does not repeat the Shemayin Esra. Lefichach, tikno la'acha hashkevenu. What do we say after hashkevenu? Baruch Hashem lo'olam amen v'amen. You know how many times Hashem's name is mentioned? So look at that. So you have over there, in Hashkiveinu, you have, you first have 19 psukim, in Baruch Hashem, Lo Yilmom Evomen, and also you have Yirwei Neinu, it ends with a bracha, right? So you're going to find, if you add up all the time, Hashem's name is mentioned there. Baruch Hashem, Lo Yilmom Evomen, Baruch Hashem, Mitzir, right? Go, count all the times Hashem, and also the Omeins, Baruch Hashem, Lo Yilmom Evomen, Evomen. Twice Omein. Add up all the Omeins, everything. It'll come out, he says, it'll come out to 38, and the Yutah is broken, and then the 19 brokers of the Shemayin Esra is again comes out, works it out. It's okay. If you try it out, it's like the Cheshim is not support. You can try it out, that's all. You have to trust them. this is why the Cheshim serves. But it's an amazing thing what you see over here. I said, what a person gains by Chazor HaShatz with the Omeins, you gain 57 brachas just by one Shemayin Esrei alone. So, if you want to see the Ben Ishchai, just a few lines here, look here, number 6 on the left. Go to here. And he said to the Ben Ishchai, you see something very fascinating. Look at the Ben Ishchai, he wants to explain what Chazor HaShatz is. Let's look at Ben Ishchai, of course, it was one of the great from the Sfarish Poskim. Also, in many Sfarim, the Ben Yoyod and so on, the Sfarish Chaim of Baghdad. So the Ben Ishchai writes the following. Now, the simple reason when the Gemara tells us why did they institute repeating Shema Esrei? Because many people, right, which did not know how to daven, did not know how to daven. Someone who's not a Baki. The Ben Ish Chai said today doesn't apply because, first of all, we have a Siddur. Those olden days, the days of old, didn't have Siddurim. Not everybody was a Baki to daven Baal Peh. So therefore, you had to have the repetition of Shema Esrei and you listen, because you're not a Baki. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Avogav, even though the Tam HaPshoti, the simple reason, Shalach Chazorah, Kulahoitzi Mishen a Baki, right, is not to be Moitzi. That's why we have Chazorah. Right? To be Moitzi, someone's not a Baki. Ein Zeikur HaTam. There is Man HaZet, because today, Kamat Botul Tam Zeh. Today, everybody's a Baki. The Hakum is Pawan Bisidurin. Everybody dams from a sitter. But it's Pawan Balpeh, and certainly if you dams Balpeh, you're certainly a Baki. If someone's Bechalal in Amoritz, he knows that Oymit Ke'evin, Lotoyla Chazoras. Maybe even Chazor won't help either. Why? Because it's not Mechak, it doesn't pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you have nothing out of the Chazor Sashas. Shayna Noisin Levaleo, Ma'acha Dein Maven Klum. So the truth is, so today he says you don't need Chazor Sashas because why? We are basically Bikiyim. We have Sidurim and so on. So what's the real reason today for Chazor Sashas? Not only today, but even they always had this in mind. Ach be'emes tamo ikri shel Chazor, listen to this, who she mevur b'divir Rabbeinu ha'arizal al pi yisoid. The real reason he says is based upon soid is a hidden reason. I'll tell you what it is. U'mefurish b'sefer ha'kavonis. The Bechazor is ha'tfilon, because when we repeat the Shemayin Esrei, Chayzvim v'nasim, he says, Kol ha'tikunim. There's all the tikunim, everything that the tefillah accomplishes in all the upper worlds when you daven, Bechazor is ha'shatz, they... Kol ha'tikunim shenasu, all the tikunim that took place with tefillah slachash, right, also take place by Chazorah. What's the difference? El da Chazorah, he magaz b'mokem elyon u'kuvoye yoyser. The Shemayin Esrei b'chazorah sashas reaches a higher world. The Shemayin Esrei b'chazorah sashas reaches a higher world. Yoyser mimokem shemagaz shom tefillah delachash. And that's why v'zeh hatam the tefillah lachash tzorach ledagdik ma'oid la'oimra b'lachash. Why do we say tefillah? Why do we daven quietly the Shemayin Esrei? You know, because there are the evil forces that try to snatch away your tefillah. We daven quietly that they should not be aware. V'zeh hatam the tefillah lachash tzorach ledagdik ma'oid la'oimra b'lachash. V'kpidu b'zoyah ma'oid. It's mentioned the Zohar Kodesh is very makpid. Al hamerim koyle b'tfilosoy. Zohar Kodesh is very makpid if someone raises his voice. Why? Mitnapachad min haklipos. Because you have the evil forces shloyes of Zubor. They shouldn't grab hold of it. That's what we done quietly, so the evil forces would not be able to take hold of it. But the Chazor Sashas would say loud, why? We're not worried about the klipos. Al Chazor lehiyoyse b'mokim elyon v'givoya, ein achize lekliposhom. In other words, quite simply, when a Yid comes to Chazor Sashas, you know what the Ben Ish Chai is saying? When a Yid comes to Chazor Sashas, he's standing on such a high place. He's standing in such a place, they already passed through all the customs, you know, and all the mekatrigim, does not have to worry about anything. Then his fiddle is able to go and they will be accepted very purely. That's the question. So Chazor Sashas stands at a much higher level than the tefillah of Balachash. Okay, let's just conclude it. Mommy's last minute here, we have just one more minute. The Shalom Shadron, you know, he was very familiar, as you all know, all of us. He came here for many, many times, spoke all over the world, but there's not very many stories that he would say that this is the most, he said, magnificent that he ever heard. Very few that he would say this is the most magnificent. Okay, we're talking about davening, but here's a certain situation that's related to davening. In the early 1900s, there was a Yid by the name of Reb Nochem. He was a regular Baal Tefillah, he said, on Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim, in the shul, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was the Rav. So this Reb Nochem, he was the regular Baal Tefillah, and the shul, by the way, in those days, this was in the old city. It was in the old city of Yerushalayim, and it was, you can understand, it was filled to capacity in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and a person to be selected, that he should be the Baal Tefillah, he should be the Chazan, you can imagine it was a great, great honor. Not just anybody was able, you know, to be a Chazan in those early days, you know, in Yerushalayim, in the old city, and certainly in the shul of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, you can imagine that. So it was one year, it was just a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, but Nochem suddenly passes away, the Baal Tefillah passes away. So after the mourning, the people were mourning, so the elders of the congregation, the elders of the shul, they approached Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Rav, and said, what should we do about getting a new chazan, getting a new Baal Tefillah? Should we begin to search for search committee, right, to get a new chazan, to get a new candidate? So the Rav told the people, don't be concerned. I'll see to it, he said. I'll see to it that there'll be a worthy Baal Tefillah in due time. So, days passed, and no mention of the topic. The elders of the shul were very concerned. Who's going to be the Baal Tefillah? You know, it's not, you can't just take anybody. Who's going to be there? That's so easy to find someone. So it was merely 5 days before Rosh Hashanah. And so the elders of the shul, along, it says, right, with many other members, so they came, they were very apprehensive, you know, to find out. It's a very important position to fill, the position of a Baal Tefillah, and not been filled. So they're quite impatient. So again, so they approached Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Rebbe, he says, who's going to be the Baal Tefillah? Again, he says to him, he assured them that a Baal Tefillah would be found. He said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, as he said. And the memory says that, let the matter go. But you can imagine they were still very, very curious, because of course, time is approaching, time is very quickly, coming soon, very Rosh Hashanah. It was already the day before Rosh Hashanah, it was the eve of Rosh Hashanah. It was Mamish Erev Rosh Hashanah arrived. Tomorrow the Baal Tefillah would be standing right at the Omer leading Musaf. And in the meantime, nobody had any idea, it's already Erev Rosh Hashanah, who's going to be the Baal Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. The people simply, they couldn't contain themselves any longer, so they go over to him, they say, Rebbe, he said, tomorrow the Baal Tefillah has to show up, and you even had to said a word, you have not yet said a word about who he's going to be. You didn't even allow anybody to search for one. I've told you a few times, he said. I already told you there's nothing for any of you to worry about, and the matter will be taken care of. They were very bewildered. It was a very strange behavior of the Rav. Never behaved this kind of a way. The next day, Mamish, you can imagine, it was like a sense of anticipation in the air to find out what's going to happen. So Shacharis was already concluded. Right? Kriyas HaTorah, the shofar was... There was a very nervous tension to see now. So where's the Baal Tefillah? Where's the Baal Tefillah? So all eyes were looking at the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, to see what's going to happen. So suddenly, spontaneously, he gets up from the seat and he walks straight to where the son of the deceased, Reb Nochum, was sitting. He's a young man. He bent over and he says, you're going to be the Baal Tefillah. Go up to Dav Musaf like your late father did. Your father davened all the years. Go up to Dav. He was speechless. I'm not prepared. I'm young. I'm not worthy. You didn't tell me. You never warned me. Because Rav Chaim said to him, you have heard your late father daven for many years. You know his nusach. You've heard it many times. You're familiar with the way that he davens. Go to the Yomer, do your best. You're going to do fine. He had no choice. He goes to the Yomer. You can imagine that the elders of the shul, they were literally aghast, you know, understanding, but they couldn't, they just couldn't help it. This was the decision of the Rav. So after Musaf, you know, you can imagine with the most important people of the Kehillah, they went over to the Rav. You know, sometimes, you know, when they try, now they can try halacha against the Rav. There is a halacha, there's someone who's a mourner, somebody gets up from Shiva. By the way, even during the first year, somebody who's an Avela should not daven for the Yom HaNeroi. Someone who's an Avela should not daven. Since Simon Tovku Feyalov in Shulchan Aruch. So they came, they're going to talk halacha to the Rav, right? They're going to the Rav and they say, he says, Rebbe, he says, the Rav said, we accept your decision, they said, we accept your decision that Reb Nochum's son should be the Baal Tefillah. But we just wonder, how could you have suggested that he should be the Baal Tefillah? After all, halacha clearly states that a mourner, in other words, should not daven for the Yomid on Rosh Hashanah. So Yosef Chaim says, do you know, he says, do you realize who's sitting and davening, he says, in the ladies section? Do you know who's sitting there? Is the widow, is the Amon of Reb Nochum. You can imagine the grief and the sorrow that she's feeling, especially on this very day, when her late husband would have been the one to daven. Imagine the pain that she would have felt if someone else would have davened the tefillah that she was always used to hear her husband daven. Her crying and pain, he said, would have been felt by all. I wanted to minimize the grief, he said, of this widow of the Almona, the best I could. And therefore I decided to place someone at the Yomid as close in her eyes as possible to her husband. Who better than her own son? The Torah warns us so many times how we should be careful regarding the pain and not to cause pain to an Almona. And therefore I felt compelled to act as I did. The pointing, he says, Reb Nochum's son surely outweighs the halacha of not permitting, right, an oval to be a chazan. For after all, you know what else the halacha says? Halacha says an oval should not daven for the omid unless there's no one else. In this case, there's no one else. Tip.